Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Pan Pacific Park. Thank you to the staff of this facility for hosting our meeting this morning. Welcome to the Board of Recreation and Park Commissioners meeting. Today is October 5th, 2023. This board meeting is being conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only, and each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Takesha, could you please take the roll?
Will do, Madam President. Commissioner Hutton.
Present.
Commissioner Lloyd.
Here.
Commissioner Tran.
Present.
President Cimarron.
Present.
And we have quorum, President Cimarron.
Thank you, Takesha. Next item of business, may I have a motion to approve the minutes from the September 21 meeting? Need the motion? Benny?
Motion to approve the minutes from last
right. I'll second. All in favor? Takesha, can you take the roll?
Yes, President Cimarron. We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes of September 21st, 2023. Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion and the vote carries.
All right, let's move to general manager updates. Jimmy.
Good morning, commissioners, staff, and members of the public. Jimmy Kim, general manager. Before we get into the general manager updates, I would like to bring up the superintendent of the metro region, Anita Meacham, to introduce the staff and give a little background about this amazing facility that we're here today.
Okay. Good morning, Commissioners. Anita Meacham, Superintendent, Metro Region. Just to give you a little background about the Pan Pacific Recreation Complex, Pan Pacific is named after the Pan Pacific Auditorium, which was built in 1937, and it was a 100,000 square foot building, and it was considered the original convention center for Los Angeles. And for 35 years, it accommodated the annual automobile, home and boat shows, sporting events, like hockey games, UCLA and USC, and the Harlem Globetrotters basketball games and concerts. Many remember seeing a younger Elvis Presley live on stage, and political events like a dinner for Eisenhower and Nixon and many more. In 1971, the Los Angeles Convention Center opened that year and essentially rendered the Pan Pacific Auditorium utterly useless. Sadly, on May 24th, 1989, the original auditorium burned to the ground, dashing any hopes of restoring the building. And in 2002, the 17,000 square foot Pan Pacific Rec Center opened its doors. The new architecture paid homage to some of the distinct features of the original building, such as installation of a 45 foot spire that recalls the auditorium's fin shaped towers above the entrance to the building and the green and white colors of the building. The 38 acre park is located in an area that has been designated as a flood zone. The park has two full sized outdoor basketball courts and two indoor courts, three baseball fields, a synthetic turf soccer field, two designated picnic areas, a seasonal swimming pool, three children's play areas, a mile walking course, and a workout station. Today, Pan Pacific Recreation Complex, by the recreation professionals here, offer a variety of programs for youth, summer camp, basketball, baseball, flag football, soccer, and one of the largest girls volleyball programs in the city. And I might add, a unique feature of this volleyball program is that it is coachless. And you can find out more about that by talking to the director. It is a coachless girls volleyball program. It also offers a variety of cultural and art classes and has an early learners program. The park also hosts many special events, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, the Grove Fireworks Show, Tar Fest, neighborhood council meetings, and holiday activities. I'd like to introduce the recreation and maintenance staff that oversee this recreation center, keep it active, make it beautiful. First, I'd like to introduce the Principal Recreation Supervisor, Kimberly Simonet. Principal Rec Supervisor, Ramon Cerrillos. Juan Guzman, Rec Supervisor. Eric Calhoun, the Senior Rec Director. Floyd Thweet, the Recreation Coordinator. Amina Morcada Yatim, the Recreation Coordinator. And our wonderful maintenance team, Robert Winwestro, the Principal Grounds Maintenance Supervisor 2. Leo Floyd, the Senior Park Maintenance Supervisor. Osias Lopez, the Park Maintenance Supervisor. Nakia Jordan, Lead Senior Gardener. And Fred Tovar and John Heckins, Senior Gardeners, and David Lopez, Edwin Granados, and Jose Amasalo, the Gardener Caretakers. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone, for welcoming us this morning.
Thank you very much, Anita. I'll now go into the General Manager update. I just wanted to remind the public for special events and fall programming information, please visit us at laparks.org. For general updates, I wanted to mention that through our Chief Sustainability Officer, Mariana Valdivia, our department is teaming up with the Los Angeles Public Library's Neighborhood Science Initiative, LA Sanitation's Environmental Biodiversity Program, and the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County to participate in this month's LA BioBlitz Challenge. This challenge began October 1st and will run through October 31st. As we all know, Los Angeles is located in a global diversity, biodiversity hotspot, and has an incredible array of native animals, plants, and ecosystem to explore. The LA BioBlitz Challenge is a way to help protect and support wildlife in Los Angeles. Park visitors can help by taking photos and mapping animals, insects, and plants found in their neighborhood, local parks, and along hiking trails in other natural areas. So we ask the public to join us and to learn more and participate by visiting lapl.org/BioBlitz. Now I would like to give an update on various communications from constituents that visited us at the last meeting. For the constituent that brought up the issues or the concerns related to Balboa Sports Complex, I wanted to mention that staff have reached out to provide information related to the Sepulveda Basin Master Plan, which includes any future plans for a rec center, the ranger station, and aquatic center around that area. For the AYSO and special needs concerns, our maintenance division and our recreation division has reached out to those individuals to help identify and mitigate the issues that they brought up. For Dearborn Park, I wanted to mention that we're putting a lot of effort and priority to address the issues at Dearborn Park. We're trying different strategies, but I did want to mention that Dearborn Park is really more of a law enforcement priority right now, and we're working with LAPD to address those issues. We understand that there's a call for more rangers, but I just wanted to clarify that our rangers are truly regional deployments. And so when we take them away from our regional parks and they deploy into the local parks, it does take resources from those regional parks. We try our best to respond, but the priority responders are our partners over at LAPD. So we're working with them on strategies on enforcement, as well as potentially providing park activity monitors at that location. For the community school parks, the staff, Rec and Park staff, will be reporting back at a future meeting related to our strategy on opening up additional sites in the San Fernando Valley. And that concludes my report on reports from the various communications from constituents. For the note on the Quimby report, we did provide an informational report. While I'm speaking, I'm going to have our superintendent of planning come up just in case there's any questions. But we wanted to note that we have included a high-level detailed information report on Quimby, but we'll be coming back to the board at a future meeting with the presentation on a more detailed level. But we did want to bring up Daryl Ford, who oversees that group, just to give us a brief high-level overview of it. Thank you.
Sure. So good morning, commissioners. And as the general manager said, Daryl Ford, Superintendent, Planning, Recreation, and Parks. So as the superintendent, general manager indicated, we'll come back at a future meeting, but we wanted to provide you with this report. We tried to keep it condensed here, just to give you a high level look at Quimby, but again, we'll come back at a future meeting. I really just want to take an opportunity just here today, just to acknowledge the staff that works in the Quimby Park View program. So if they could just stand up. There's a small staff that works here at Recreation and Parks. Currently in our Quimby Park View group, we have a senior management analyst, Megan, who oversees that section. We have two management assistants who work on it, and actually between two and four part-timers at any particular moment who are working in the program. So as you I'm sure saw in the report, the program collects a significant amount of money for the department for our capital improvement projects that, as you've seen with our staff, we come to the board quite often to have those fees allocated. And there's, the team here, I want to make sure that they get the acknowledgement for that, because it's the hard work of just a few dedicated city employees, along with the help and assistance, of course, from our staff in the department, including our finance section. I never want to leave them out, that really keep the program moving along. So I just want to take a moment to highlight that while we're here today. And then, of course, we can come back to you, answer any questions you may have in the detailed in the report, and give you a more detailed presentation. Or I can answer any questions you have here today. I'm available to do that.
Commissioners, what's your pleasure? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Daryl Ford. And that concludes my general manager report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. We will move on to general public comment. Takesha, can you please conduct public comment?
I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our WRAP inbox at wrap.commissioners@lacity.org. First three, Sherelle Caneo, Sandra Bell, and Zora Fahim.
Better. Good morning. I'm Cheryl Cuneo. You all know that. You know I live in Los Angeles, and you know that I am the one that is here in support of the polling rights. So I'd like to take my 2 minutes to give you some ideas of things that could be done there that would make it better. I'm a big fan of Joel Sartori, a National Geographic photographer famous for his photo art. His aim is to document what is left of animal diversity on Earth. He currently has portraits of over 7,000 species from his travels to zoos and wildlife sanctuaries and shares photos daily on social media. A few weeks back, he featured Benjamin Bunny, a Los Angeles basin brush rabbit who was lucky to be alive but lost an eye after a dangerous encounter, likely with a cat. Benjamin is now living in a sanctuary. Benjamin in a sanctuary at the Griffith Park Pony Rides could reach and educate people of all ages about who else lives in our parks and neighborhoods. As you mentioned, LA is a biodiversity hotspot, as well as teaching the dangers that free-roaming cats pose to wildlife, particularly songbirds, and the importance of being a responsible pet guardian, which includes spaying and neutering cats to cut down on the feral pet cat population. Please consider making the pony rides a place where children can not only ride a pony, but their entire family can learn more about animals. Thank you. And also check out Joel Sartori's photo art.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sandra Bell, and I'm a Los Angeles voting constituent living in Tarzana. I am disappointed with the City of Los Angeles for having the plan and agenda of presenting animal models to the commissioners and the City Council to replace the former Griffith Park pony rides. The city has shown that it has learned absolutely nothing about what happened last year. This is not only an animal welfare concern, it is a community health, safety, and child welfare concern. And a strong message is being sent that the city considers none of that. There is no elected official in the city who has said, let's close down the animal model and then let's turn around and open up another, possibly less abusive animal attraction. Former council member David Rue knew this, that it's abusive. That's why he said when he banned wild animal entertainment, quote, this is not safe, this is not ethical, and perpetrates a barbaric view that wild and exotic animals are toys. I urge you to please align yourself with the common sense legislation which has passed in this city and convert the pony rides into a non-animal model. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. It's so great to see all of you today. My name is Zora Fahim, president of Los Angeles Alliance for Animals. We specialize in animal cruelty, particularly equines. On September 26th, Dr. Sasher had a scheduled inspection, and on September 30th, Mr. Weeks reported to the city of the deaths of the four ponies. Mr. Weeks apparently deceived Inside Edition that he cares so much about the ponies that he calls his vet first in the city of LA. It took months for Weeks to report those deaths, and it only occurred because Weeks was being inspected. Right now, we have six ponies that were placed at other facilities. A response to our public act request with Recreation and Park when asked about the whereabouts of the six ponies resulted with no responsive records. According to the USDA that regulated the petting zoo at the pony concession, Weeks had to notify the transport of animals, and if he didn't, there would have been a violation. The USDA, known to have low animal standards and not so robust, would have found your operator, Mr. Weeks, to be a huge red flag. Why is it that the rest of the pony concession did not follow the standards of the USDA when it pertained to the transport of animals to ensure the health and well-being of all the animals? The analogy I would use here is a restaurant. It's like saying the health department is going to just regulate the salad bar, but those same standards won't be applied to the remaining restaurant to ensure the health of all animals who eat there. We are requesting respectfully to please disclose and follow through with the public as to which facilities the ponies have been allegedly transferred to. If you cannot locate those animals, then we have serious concerns and allegations that those six ponies are also deceased, in addition to the four that we have deceased as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to have the last constituent come up, Inger E.
So good morning. Thank you for letting us speak for the innocent that cannot speak for themselves. First, I want to say thank you, Jimmy Kim, again for doing the right thing by not renewing the pony ride contract. I'm very you're honorable man. Let's keep the children and people and animals safe. Let's stop this. Let's teach nonviolence. There is too much violence already. We have to teach violence, not nonviolence. And I'm sorry, I came from a long trip. So I want to say the council member Paul Koretz, who was the chair of Animal Welfare Committee, said that the situation at the Griffith Park and pony rights and petting zoo was not good for the animals. He spelled it out very clearly. It's not very hard to see how cruel it is. The conditions were not conducive with the long-term health and well-being. October 25th, 2022, council members Nitya Raman, Grimfield Koretz, and Karen Price submitted a motion stating aloud, although Stephen Weeks made some improvements, the Griffith Park pony rights continue to receive complaints and critical measures that did not ensure the well-being of the elderly ponies and the ponies in general, the little feet, such as using them for rides, even when it was 100 degrees Fahrenheit. This would be to move on with animal model would be a huge liability for the city of Los Angeles, because animal rights activists will never go away. My experience over the years has been when things like this happens, there will be more, And that doesn't look good for the city or for the tourists or whoever visiting the park. Let's be kind, selfless, and leave the ponies where I want to be, run wild in the field. Let's...
Thank you for your time. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I do not see any further requests for general public comments, Madam President.
Thank you, Takesha. Can we move to public comment on agendized items, please?
I do not have any requests for board report public comments.
Thank you. Let's move into the board report. Item 174.
Good morning, Jimmy Kim, General Manager, Recreation and Parks. I'm going to bring up Veronica Polanco, our newly hired Chief Innovation Officer for PlayLA, and Grace Duncan, the Chief Management Analyst, who will provide details of this report. But before we do that, I wanted to, by way of background, give a little background on the PlayLA program. In 2017, the International Olympic Committee selected Los Angeles to host the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games with the signing of a MOU in 2020. LA28 committed to support youth sports programming, including funding up to $160 million leading up to the 2028 Games. The youth sports agreement is structured to overcome barriers to participation, including considerations to achieve gender equity and to increase access and opportunity for all young people, particularly the economically disadvantaged and physically impaired, to ensure an enduring health and wellness benefits for all communities in the city of Los Angeles. As part of that strategy, the Youth Sports Agreement allows the department to offer low cost or free programming to communities within a half mile radius of centers where the median household income for a family of three is below $71,000. This eliminates the need for community members to provide documentation to access this opportunity. Participants at the facilities that qualify under this threshold are still able to access this opportunity by submitting documentation attesting that they are under the income level of $71,000. The report before you to the commission is to amend the specific portion of the agreement related to the $71,000 income level and attestation form. If desired, the staff can come back to the board in the future to present the youth sports agreement if there's any questions related to that. So I'm going to bring up Veronica and Grace to give the details of the report. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. As our general manager mentioned, today RAP is presenting a second amendment to the Youth Sports Partnership Agreement. The department relies on the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development establishment of the low income limits. We use a low income limit set for three family members in the metro LA area to determine pre-qualified centers. These centers are prioritized with increased investments to promote equitable access to sports and fitness opportunities. As mentioned, at the time of the original agreement, a pre-qualified recreation center was any center within a half-mile radius in a neighborhood with a medium household of less than $71,000. The current low-income limit now stands at $91,000. Due to the change, we have acquired an additional seven recreational parks, centers, and three pools that are now considered pre-qualified locations. The second amendment, attachment one, is set to reflect the changes. Additionally, we want to introduce an updated fiscal year 23-24 YSP project plan. The updated enrollment estimates are a little over 164,000 with a total estimated cost of 18.8 million. Enrollment estimates have increased by 2,301 and estimated costs have increased by 332,438. The Recreation and Parks Department is recommending the following. One, approve the second amendment to the Youth Sports Partnership Agreement substantially in the form set forth in the report's attachment one between the City of Los Angeles acting by and through its Department of Recreation and Parks and the Los Angeles Organizing Committee for the Olympics and Paralympic Games 2028, subject to the approval of the Mayor and City Council and the approval of the City Attorney as to the form. And two, approve the revised fiscal year 2023 and 2024 Youth Sports Partnership Project Plan presented in the report's attachment three. And three, direct RAP to transmit the revised YSP project plan to the City Council for consideration in conformance with the youth sports agreement as amended and attached hereto as a report attachment 5 and approved by the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioners on December 18, 2019 and April 7, 2022. And 4, authorize RAPS general manager or designee to execute the second amendment upon receipt of the aforementioned approvals. This concludes the report. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions if I can start. One, just to confirm, the original project agreement specified a dollar amount of $71,000. So the amendment is to tie the pre-qualified household income to HUD standards. So if so the language isn't going to be a dollar amount, it's going to be the HUD standards, whatever that might be to adjust.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. My second question is on the amendment. You note that the amount requested is 18.798.
Yes.
However, I see a pending request of 14.8. So, and then in the previous year, we requested 17 million. We received 13 and we spent 13.2 and we spent 13.5. So can you just explain for the commission the variances in the amount of requested, amount received, and the actual amount spent?
Yeah, in part, it's really we are recovering from the pandemic, which really took an impact of how the program was rolled out. And so 2023, 2024 will be the full year where we're not having to do that, which is part of the reason we underspent previously.
So are we getting 18.7 million or are we getting 14.8 million?
Hi, Grace Duncan with Data and Asset Management Unit. That 17.5 million was what our plan was in 22-23. So typically what LA 28 does is they actually give us an advance of our 17.2 million ahead of time. Quarterly, on a quarterly payment. And so now we have, this was for 22-23. We had a plan of 17 and a half. Our actual is now 13 and a half million. So we've had some advanced funding, like what I'm showing here. I think what you're asking is we're asking for 18.8. However, there's adjustments for previous funding reconciling against actual.
So is that to mean the carryover of the 1.9 and the 2.33?
Yes, carryover. So we have a $4 million, close to $3.9 million of carryover that would be applied to the 18.8. You know, so it's going to be a reconciling item each time. We're asking for the 18.8, but the funding won't be 18.8. It would be adjusted to the actuals now for 23-20.
Because we already got the money, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we got the money for 22-23. Yeah, the money's right. In the
we
bank.
Use with, it all.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So I'm just following your chart.
Okay.
Okay. So I get we have a carryover of roughly $4 million.
Yes.
Right. Or 4.3. And then we actually in 2022-2023, I see that we spent more than we received. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So,
but there was a carryover from previous years.
So we're saying is that we receive that. So that's where I'm just confused is that the amount requested, how much are we going to receive in 23-24? Because that's not filled in that column.
Okay.
I'm looking at this page in the board report.
Right. So on the right hand column, FY23-24 funding adjusted. You will see that we're going to be requesting 14.8. What we're going to be getting in cash is going to be the 14,814,962.
So that's where I'm confused.
Okay.
Why are we requesting 18.7?
We are requesting because that's our plan for 23-24. However, as far as cash is advanced funding, it's the 3.8.
I get it. So from a spend perspective, we're going to spend 18.
Yes.
But we have a carryover for 4, so exactly. We only need 14.
Exactly.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And then my last question is the maximum that we can ask for is 19.2. So why aren't we asking for the maximum?
Well, in 23-24, our projections are less than the 19.2. But actually you will be seeing in our 24-25 plan, we will actually go over the 19.2.
And when you say projections, you mean?
Projected estimated costs, because we're going to be introducing new signature programs. So we're actually going to be over the 19.2. At this time in the 23-24, we just, our projections are less than the 19.2.
I'm just trying to understand your projections of participation?
Participation and costs associated with the participation.
Thank you. Any other questions from the commissioners?
I do. And I think it kind of gets to that. One, I appreciate that we are looking to seek an amendment so that we can expand this program to more Angelenos. I think that's great. What I would love to understand is, you know, are we thinking big enough here? And is this, are we really kind of meeting the expectations of what was originally outlined in this program? You know, when you think about $160 million for youth sports in Los Angeles, that's an incredible figure. And understanding that we have left some money on the table and won't reach 160, 100 million is still incredible. And so for me, what I'd really love to understand is, are we really thinking about this program in terms of a permanent and lasting effect on youth sports in Los Angeles, given that the funding is going to end in 2028? So my fear and concern a little bit is that we are doing a programming that's going to end as soon as the funding ends and not really thinking about sustaining something. And so I just love to understand, and I don't know if today is the right forum from it because it's not specific to this amendment, but understand what it is we are building, how we are thinking about it beyond 2028, and then even RAP's larger role within the Olympics and what we need to consider as a commission for the next few years.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely one of the mandates of how we're working on and thinking internally of how this is going to be sustainable past it. Because what we are seeing is it is really a touch point for communities that have not been fully involved. And we're determined to keep that and the equitable piece of it going as much as we can. In doing so, we are considering different partnerships and using this time to really build a robust, sustainable program past 2028.
If I could add, I'm Matthew Rudnick, Executive Officer. I think, Commissioner, that's an excellent question. Something we've been discussing with the CAO, CLA, and Mayor's office related to the program is the sustainability beyond 2028. Clearly, we don't want to set up a program, build it up, hire staff, and really provide low-cost programs just to, at 2028, end that program abruptly. So we're looking at ways to institutionalize elements of the program. One of the big components, obviously, is our adaptive sports program. We're hiring staff, building that program up. So we will certainly be coming back to the board with some recommendations related to the kind of ongoing legacy of the program, what resources are available beyond 2028, and how we might also just think about this funding in the context of our larger budget and how we're sustaining it beyond. So very good question, and something we'll need to really get guidance and input from the board on as we work with the city family on that exact issue.
Getting an understanding of participation numbers to date, especially because I understand that some of this budget can be used for marketing and getting the word out about this program, which I think would be a really great thing. So curious about our participation, your growth plans, and how kind of marketing and getting the word out fits into that.
Yes, this is Jimmy Kim, Recreation Parks General Manager. Staff will report back at a future board meeting with the overview of our past fiscal year, as well as our baseline when we began the program in 2018, so that the board as well as the public can understand the impact that we're having in our communities.
Any other questions? Thank you so much. Next item, 175.
Thank you.
Good morning, President, General Manager, Commissioners, and guests. Anita Meacham, Superintendent of the Metro Region, Board Report 23-175. Recommends authorization for the Department of Rec and Parks General Manager to accept and receive the Juvenile Justice Crime Prevention Act grant funding for the after-school enrichment and supervision program, which is basically our teen clubs, in the amount of $1,669,970 from the County of Los Angeles Probation Department, and to direct RAP staff to transmit a copy of the grant and MOU attached to the mayor, CAO, CLA, and city clerk for council approval. The County of Los Angeles awards and administers funding for the state's JJCPA funding. And over the last 23 years, RAP has received $11 million in JJCPA funding to continue programs designed to serve at-risk youth through RAP's Clean and Safe Spaces Class Parks Youth Employment Internship Program for fiscal year 23-24. The program provides participants with positive activities and alternatives for new learning experiences.
Thank you. Really great learning about this program and seeking the funding for the county. Certainly we see the sports play and movement is a diversion and intervention for positive youth development for young kids. I'm curious if we're tracking any data or impact relative to, you know, besides participation, what other measures of impact we're tracking?
Well, the County of Los Angeles is tracking some demographics, age, gender. Within the department, we are able to track and see the young people that are going through this program become part-time employees. Some have become full-time employees. Are we in a detailed tracking mode? No, but these are just some of the results that we see just day to day with the young people that have gone through this program since the year of, I believe, 2000.
No, thank you. I mean, 11 million is not an insignificant number, but it would be helpful if you could just share at a later date, just an email to
Absolutely.
The commissioners, just any data, both demographics, numbers, and any anecdotal data in terms of the impact of the program, I think would be helpful.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the commission?
Yeah, similarly curious on, you know, how popular this program is and just interested if and again, it can be responded in the same way. Is this program particularly popular? Like, is it consistently full? It comes to the programming within it. Is that dictated and run by RAP or is that from the probation office?
Okay, the first part of your question I heard, yes, it is a popular program. It's a very successful program. The county is very pleased with what RAP has done, what the Class Parks program has done with this program. Generally speaking, the program is offered in sessions. So there's a quarterly session for each time that the program is offered. It's offered generally at 3 to 4 recreation centers. There's generally about 500 kids that participate, and those kids, after going through the 6 or 8 week session, receive a $500 stipend. So it is a very popular program.
Incentive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, not 500. Is it 500 annually? Okay. Yeah, it's 500 annually. Six to 8 weeks.
Good morning, Commissioner. I just want to add, my name is Belinda Jackson, Assistant General Manager. This program is a wonderful program. And one of the great things about this program, it leads to employment. And we have an advantage of hiring young people at the age of 14. So it's somewhat like a feeder program. And so we have another grant that's a California for All, and that program also hires these young folks. So it's a great program. Most of the sites are in impacted areas, couldn't say enough about it. And as it relates to the evaluation, yes, we are looking to do a better job with that, have a more deeper dive in the evaluation of the program. That will help us not only evaluate what we need to change, but also look at options for more funding to expand the program.
This is Jimmy Kim, General Manager, Director of Parks. In addition, I did want to mention that we do have data on the demographics and the communities that we provide this program. So as part of our report back for Play LA and the impact, we'll also include the class park data as well.
Yeah, and the reason that I mentioned that in terms of being able to track data specifically, because we've been at this since 2003, as you mentioned, is you're aware that the county is have a new youth development department, the Care First Community Initiative. So there is a concerted effort of ensuring that there are positive outlets for youth to reduce juvenile incarceration. Just a data point to share with you all is that Los Angeles County incarcerates the largest number of young people in the world. And so a program that's providing positive alternatives for 500 young people, those are stories that we want to show the pathway that this program is creating to employment, to college, to career, to lifelong well-being. So then we can then share that with the county, and more funding then can be directed to these types of programs. And so I think that's the importance of the partnership with the county and tracking and reporting out on that data.
Exactly. And that's why I'm curious of, you know, how successful it is, but also if there are, you know, is it the stipend that helps make it successful? Is it the fact that it leads to employment? Like understanding those nuances so that we can expand and continue to fund.
I think the stipend is an incentive, but it's also the different disciplines that they learn. For instance,
CSI intrigued me.
The camp counselor leadership, where, you know, they can easily become camp counselors, sports officiating, the CSI, you know, gives them interest on the law enforcement track. So, yeah, it's okay.
Just a
these are programs we should be celebrating.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And just a quick question. It could be, it's great. Just a quick question, and in addition to LA 28 and other grants that we receive from different entities, are there impact measurements that are written out in the grant agreements that we have to meet in order for it to measure success, or is it something that we come up with? And furthermore, how is it related to county goals and measurements and KPIs within, you know, their programs, and how does it roll up?
With the County of Los Angeles, we basically, you know, have an ongoing communication with them. And yes, what they want to see is an increase of young people that are engaged in, you know, activities and life skills, such as resume writing, job searching, things like that. And so these are the things that they're looking at, is how many of these kids are actually moving on to be employed, doing better, having better grades in schools, and things like that. Thank you.
What are the 3 to 4 rec centers you mentioned that they're serving?
The rec centers rotate.
Oh, okay, they do.
Yeah,
okay.
We rotate around the city.
Oh, so
we
that have, longer list. So that's why.
Yes, we have 37 class park sites. And so we rotate this program among those 37 parks, and we try to have the program in each, like in the Pacific region, the Valley region, as well as the metro region. We run it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Board of Commissioners, Executive Staff, and Member of the Public. Kyle Wong for Board Report 23-176. Reckon Park is requesting the agreement with the Los Angeles Conservation Corps for public service work on Proposition 68 funded project to be approved. The agreement is a 5-year contract with 3 1-year renewal option to complete all Prop 68 capital improvement projects. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Questions, Commissioner?
So thank you so much. Next item.
Greetings, Madam President and members of the board. I'm right here. I'm John Busby from the Division of Finance. And I'd like to present board report number 23177, which is the as needed personal service contract for a routine and emergency response hazardous waste management. This is a set of services that the department has relied upon Los Angeles Sanitation for a contract in the past. And we've been made aware that it's in our interests to set our own contract up. And that's what we'd like to do today. The contract is for a 5-year period with 2 3-year extensions. So it could be a total of 11 years. And the as needed amount, dollar amount for the contract over the entire period of the contract is $5,500,000. So that concludes my report.
What were we doing before with regard to hazardous materials?
Good morning, Commissioners. Kathy Santo Domingo, Planning, Maintenance, and Construction. We're basically using a piggyback contract with Bureau of Sanitation with the same consultant. We would basically reach out to the same entity and then go through sanitation and basically utilize some of their contract ceiling for these services. The need for this consultant or this contractor is pretty much an unpredictable daily occurrence in the park system. It could be, you know, as simple as, you know, a cleanup at a park where we would utilize clean harbors, or it could be a more extensive cleanup of various areas, or an accident that may have occurred, or a crime that may have occurred within our park. So it is one of those unpredictable contracts, and it could be for something very simple or something more complex that occurs. This is a cleanup that would involve more extensive items that typically our staff would not be able to handle at a maintenance level.
Understand that. Thank you for that explanation. I'm just curious as to if we were piggybacking with sanitation, what was the impetus of breaking that piggyback ride and going it alone?
Well, the term piggyback, we've recently received a lot of kind of education from the city attorney's office about how we use that term. And we're not actually piggybacking. We're creating our own contract using sanitation's procurement method. So procurement process. So sanitation put this contract out to bid through the city. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sanitation did put this contract out to bid with an RFP. So it's already been competitively bid. It's made its way through city council, the underlying contract that we're using. And we're just making use of that that underlying contract for the purposes of efficiency. It's better. That's I think that's the word you need. It's efficient for us because we have our own set of services. And rather than having to go to a sanitation every time, which, as you know, it can become very convoluted. So
got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That clarifies. Thank you.
Are there efficiencies, but also cost efficiencies associated with this as well?
This is John Busby from the Division of Finance. Yes, there's cost efficiencies as well. So there's kind of operational expediency in terms of having to get sanitation involved. And then there's also, there are always costs related to using another department. So I think the reason the determination was made took into account all of these considerations. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item.
Good morning. Pardon me. Good morning, commissioners, RAP staff, and members of the general public. My name is David Lee, Planning, Maintenance, and Construction Branch, and I'm here to present board report number 23-178. This board report approves the scope of work and total budget of the Pan Pacific Park Basketball Courts Improvements Project, as described in the summary of this report.
David, you slow down just a little bit.
Oh, okay. My apologies, commissioners.
Thank you.
I will. Thank you. There is currently $94,396.45 available in the Pan Pacific Park account number 89 1460K-WV. Upon approval of this report, $396.45 in Quimby fees can be allocated from the Pan Pacific Park account to the proposed budget, which is the total budget, including budget contingency. Pan Pacific Park is located at 7600 Beverly Boulevard in the Fairfax District community of the city. The scope of work of the Pan Pacific Park basketball courts improvements project includes the following for the two basketball courts: remove entire surface coating and rough and concrete court surface for adhesion, repair any cracking and prepare courts for application of acrylic surface, application of said acrylic surface, and restripe court lines per city clipper court standard. It should be noted that this report also includes an overall timeline for the project, with the project anticipated to begin construction in October 2023 and post-construction taking place from October 2023 to March 2024. This concludes my report. Thank you. And my apologies again for speaking too quickly earlier.
No, that's okay. I think you thought you had the 2 minutes, so you were trying to get it all in. But we extend courtesies to staff, so thank you for staying.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate it.
Just a question on the timeline. It said bid and award September 2023. So have we done that, or are we behind because we haven't approved?
I would have to defer to Daryl Ford, Superintendent of Planning, to help answer that question. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Daryl Ford, Superintendent of Planning. We are exactly on schedule. So just as I think something we've talked about before is at times we identify safety issues or other things, and we will go through and proactively bid the project. So we actually have a bid in hand. If the board approves this project today, we will almost immediately begin. But this was one where we proactively identified an issue, as you saw on the scope. We went out, we got a bid, we identified the funds, and we produced the report. And just so happens, it's the first week of October. But assuming you approve it today, we will, as a report notes, we will start this month because we do need to do this work.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Definitely good work, and it's nice that we are pending approval while we're at Pan Pacific Park. So,
good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Eastland with the Planning, Maintenance, and Construction Branch. Board Report 23179 is requesting that the board approve the scope of work and commitment of $318,242.79 in park fees for the fence installation project over at Jim Gilliam Recreation Center. The proposed project entails the installation of just over 1,600 feet of two rail fencing along the alleyway on the north side of the rec center. At this time, the total budget for the project is the aforementioned $318,000. Excuse me. And construction is anticipated to begin in December this year and be completed in early 2024. Thank you. This concludes my report.
Great. Thank you. I don't have any questions, but I should have made the note on the last presentation and this presentation. I do appreciate staff's adding the timeline in the board report. Appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah, we've done that.
I just have a question. Is the fencing a public safety issue? Is it an aesthetic?
It's a safety thing. There's an alleyway that cars sometimes speed on there. So just make sure no kid wanders in there and gets injured.
Great.
Thank you. Next item.
Good morning, Board of Commissioners. My name is Cammie Neal from the Planning, Maintenance, and Construction Branch, reporting on Board Report Number 23-180. This board report is requesting the board to award the construction contract to Parves Arvin Construction for $7,678,000 for the Verdugo Hills Pool and Bathhouse refurbishment project. The original bid amount came at $8,753,000, and after bid review and negotiations, a mutual agreement was reached to lower the bid price. Upon approval of this board report, the construction of this project may begin in November 2023. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that is. Are there any other commission questions on any of the board reports? Seeing none, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
May I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, can you take the vote?
We have a motion and a second to approve the board reports that were just presented today. Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Simrell, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carried.
Thank you. Takesha, do we have any neighborhood council comments?
We did not receive any such requests, Madam President.
Okay. I'd like to then move to the chairs of each of the task force. Are there any updated verbal reports?
No, for concessions, we meet 10-19, correct? Takesha's just keeping me honest.
Yeah, okay.
That we did not have last week. I was gone.
Commissioner Lloyd?
I was gone last week.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, our meeting is today.
Okay. So you'll follow up at the next meeting. Great. Any comments from the commissioners on future agenda items or report backs? Very efficient meeting.
I do have something. I was wondering, in terms of the calendar, is there any way we could also have a meeting on the east side? On the east side. Yeah. So future plan, we're in a rotation schedule. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Bull Heights or El Segundo Rec Center. I think El Segundo Rec Center actually might be.
Okay.
Because it has bigger space. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. We'll take care of that. All right. Seeing no additional business from the commissioners, this adjourns our meeting today. The next meeting is scheduled for October 19, 2023. Remind me where our next meeting is. We're rotating.
Expo. Right?
Expo. Expo Center. So we'll see you all at the Expo Center. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.